Brother Stephen Merrifield will now discuss the final part of this symposium, Keep Sowing to the Spirit, Do Not Let Your Hand Rest.
As we've discussed, to keep sowing to the Spirit involves wholeheartedly participating in activities that promotes the flow of Holy Spirit in our life. So as we've seen so far, this involves our personal Bible study and thinking of Bible principles. But what's a third area or third activity that promotes that flow of Spirit in our life? For the answer, let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 6. Ecclesiastes 11 and 6. And here we find another reference to sowing. So as we read this, see if you can think about what activity we can compare this to. Ecclesiastes 11 and 6. It says, sow your seed in the morning, and do not let your hand rest until the evening. For you do not know which will have success, whether this one or that one, or whether they will both do well. So if you just look at the first three words in that verse, sow your seed. What does this remind us of? We think about when Jesus was on earth, did he not compare the spreading of the kingdom good news to sowing or scattering seeds? So if we think about our ministry, our preaching work, does it involve Holy Spirit, relying on Jehovah's Spirit to accomplish it? And is it not showing faith in Jehovah if we use every opportunity to sow our seed? You notice in that verse, it tells us the effort that's involved. And this is important because lives are at stake. So if you look back at the verse, it tells us to sow our seed in the morning and do not let your hand rest until the evening. So this implies a sustained effort. If we think about literally sowing seeds, say planting a garden, if you want the garden to do well, do you just go out and throw a few seeds on the ground and walk away? Say, well, God's going to make it grow. Or do we need to put some work into it? Watering, cultivating, weeding, protecting the plants, maybe from animals or frost. So when we think about our kingdom ministry, our ministry work, more is required in the ministry than just a token share in scattering seeds or placing Bible literature. We need to not let our hand rest. Now, it's true, the results are ultimately in Jehovah's hands. But can we read people's hearts? You see, that verse also tells us why we want to put forth this effort, because it says we don't know where it's going to have success. So we need to keep doing it. So the more effort we put forth in spreading this seed, the more disciples we're going to reap. So when many have thought about that and meditated on that principle, they've seen the need to adjust their circumstances to increase their share in the ministry. What can help us to be motivated to do that, or to see how we can do that? Let's think about a Bible example. We'll turn to Acts chapter 17. And we're going to look at the example of the Apostle Paul. So Acts 17, and we're going to read verse 17. But before we read it, if we just think for a minute about Paul, did he not let his hand rest? Was he a zealous kingdom evangelizer? So some context before we read this verse is Paul's on his second missionary tour. He's with Silas and Timothy. Now they've traveled to Thessalonica. And as they preach there, they are met with opposition. So they have to leave very quickly. So they go over to Berea. Now in Berea, they find some interest. But the persecutors in Thessalonica, they follow them to Berea, and they're causing them more problems. So the brothers, to help protect Paul, they send him off. In verse 14, by sea. They put him on a boat, and he sails south. Now, Timothy and Silas, they stay behind in Berea. So in verse 16, Paul finds himself in Athens, and he's waiting for Silas and Timothy to show up. So he's been through a bit of a harrowing experience. So he could say, well, I'm going to take a bit of a rest. I'm in the nice metropolis of Athens. I'm going to take it easy while I wait. But let's read verse 17. What does he do? It says, so he began to reason in the synagogue with the Jews and the other people who worshiped God, and every day in the marketplace with those who happened to be on hand. So what does this teach us about Paul? He did not let his hand rest. He saw the importance of spreading the Bible message wherever he could find people. He's in Athens, there's people there, he's preaching to them. And notice he does this in the synagogue with Jews and others, but also in the marketplace. So this shows us that Paul was really aware of adjusting his schedule and his circumstances to preach to people where they could be found. So what about us? Do we find sometimes that it's hard to reach people? Can we adjust our methods of preaching? So Paul was preaching to ones in the synagogue where they went to formally worship, but then he went to where other people were, at the marketplace. So we might go in our formal door-to-door ministry, but do we also share in public witnessing? Witnessing informally, maybe by telephone or by letter to reach ones who are harder to access. We don't want to let our hands rest. Now notice it also says that every day he did this in the marketplace. So what does that imply, that Paul was doing this every day? Well, it shows us he had a regular schedule of preaching. Now, we may not physically be able to go in the ministry every single day, but do we have a regular schedule? Do we not let a week go by without sharing in the ministry in some form? So Paul made use of his circumstances here, didn't he? He didn't let his hand rest. But do circumstances change sometimes? Do they become more difficult to share in the ministry? If we think about Paul again, now we don't have time to turn to the scripture, but later on in Acts 28, Paul finds himself under arrest. He goes to be taken to Rome to appeal to Caesar. Now in verse 30 and 31, it tells us that he's 2 years under house arrest, so he can't go anywhere. And yet he still spread kingdom good news. He talked to any visitors that came to see him. So likewise, maybe for some of you, brothers and sisters, could we find ourselves under house arrest, so to speak, maybe because of our health or other circumstances that confine us to not be able to go out in the ministry? But can we still not let our hand rest, still have a full share in the ministry? Well, here's just one brief example. This was from back in 2007, a sister named Ellen in Sweden. So in 2007, she was 105 years old. So she was in a home for the elderly. So we could say she was under house arrest. She couldn't leave. But she stayed a zealous kingdom publisher. She would talk to anyone who came to see her, just like Paul. She talked to cleaners, to doctors, to housemaids, to nurses. Anyone else she came across, she preached to them. Sometimes other brothers and sisters in her congregation would bring their Bible studies to her, and she could preach to them as well. So even if we find ourselves under difficult circumstances, can we look for ways to continue to not let our hand rest? Now, something else that Paul did is he mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 23. He said, I've become all things to people of all sorts. So Paul was aware of adjusting his methods to match people's circumstances. So if we think again about spreading or planting seeds, we might think about a farmer. Maybe he has one type of crop that he's going to plant, but he has several fields he's going to plant it on. So he knows he's spreading the same seed, but maybe on different types of soil. Maybe one field is softer, the other one's a bit more hard. So he might have to incorporate different methods to get that soil ready to accept the seed. So can we be like Paul? Can we become all things to people of all sorts? Think about the people we'll be talking to in our territory. What's their likes, their dislikes, their concerns, their fears? What might they be going through at that moment? So we want to do more than just make superficial contact and leave literature. We want to discern these things and try to prepare their hearts to accept this kingdom seed. And it takes effort. So with Paul, what was his attitude towards the ministry? Well, let's turn to Acts 20. And notice what he expresses in verse 24. So Acts 20 and verse 24. Notice how passionate he was about this work. He says, "Nevertheless, I do not consider my own life of any importance to me, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to bear thorough witness to the good news of the undeserved kindness of God." So you notice what Paul said? I don't consider my life as any importance to me. The preaching work was more important to him than life itself. And he not only wanted to preach, but he says to bear thorough witness. So Paul refused to let any circumstances to prevent him from completing his assignment in the preaching work. So likewise, today, we all have different circumstances. Many of you are dealing with difficult circumstances in your life. But let's just take a few minutes to talk to a few in this circuit who have made good use of their circumstances and even adjusted their circumstances to not let their hands rest in the ministry. So first of all, we're going to talk with Gordon and Georgina Shuchuk from the Bruce Congregation. So we'd like to ask you, first of all, what challenges did you have to overcome in order to expand your ministry? Maybe Gordon will have your thoughts first.
Well, I think the biggest obstacle or challenge was myself. One of the things I always had a difficult time with was pioneering, when I did auxiliary pioneering in the past. And because I worked full-time and then there was the family responsibilities and congregation responsibilities and pioneering, I usually found that by the end of the month I was totally exhausted. So I thought, how could I do this month after month? It was to be a real obstacle for me.
Okay. How about you, Georgiana?
My biggest challenge was helping my husband to want to pioneer and to enjoy it. So I prayed that Jehovah would put it into his heart to want to pioneer. And I knew that when he started to pioneer, he wouldn't want to stop. Also, making the hourly requirement was a concern for me because we are both very busy.
So how did you each overcome those challenges?
Well, I think my wife was a big help. She was always encouraging me to make pioneering a goal, so that was always at the forefront of things that we talked about. And a turning point came in July of 2016. There was the Life and Ministry part entitled, "Can You Do It for 1 Year?" And my circumstances had changed at that time. My work had slowed down a lot. So I said to my wife, I says, "Why don't we do it for 1 year?" And I says, "1 year." And since then, we've just continued on.
Amazing. How about you, Sister Shuchuk?
Well, I've been helped by my many prayers to Jehovah and by following the suggestions given in the July 2016 Life and Ministries under the headings Schedules for Regular Pioneering. And we chose one of the suggested schedules, and these have seemed to work for us.
Great. So there's some definite effort involved, but what are the blessings you've experienced for expanding your ministry?
Well, I think we've had lots of experiences. Being out in the metro work has been a real joy. Lots of interesting conversations with people, some Bible studies. And I think maybe the highlight for both of us has been the Pioneer School. Those 6 days that we were at the Pioneer School was something we'll never forget.
Beautiful. Georgiana?
I have seen how Jehovah answers prayers, and this has helped me to grow closer to my Heavenly Father. Also serving together with Gordon in full-time service has helped strengthen our marital bond. And as Malachi 3:10 says, that Jehovah will open the floodgates of the heavens and pour out a blessing until there is no more want. I feel that we have experienced that and will continue to receive even more blessings in the future because of our increased ministry.
Well, thank you very much for your expressions and your fine example. So now we'll talk with Sister McCormack and Sister Meinberg from the Wainwright Congregation. So maybe Sister McCormack, we'll ask you first, what challenges have you overcome in order to expand your ministry?
Well, I became a widow, and so the urge to just sit at home and feel sorry for myself was really a tough one.
Okay, how did you overcome that?
Well, the scripture at Psalms 34 and 8 that says, "Taste and see that Jehovah is good," really helped me to realize what I needed to do was go to the service meeting very regularly.
All right. And have you experienced blessings from that decision?
Oh, definitely. I enjoy a much closer relationship with Jehovah. I enjoy a closer relationship with my brothers and sisters. And I've had the privilege of regular auxiliary pioneering.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you've done a lot so far, but do you have a future goal?
Yes, I do. It'd be wonderful to regular pioneer.
Well, I'm sure we'll see you doing that one day. So Sister Meinberg, we'll ask you as well, what challenges have you overcome?
Well, honestly, the biggest challenge for me was that I really didn't want to pioneer. I probably could change my circumstances enough that I could, but I didn't want to. I went in service just enough to hate it. So the idea of 70 hours a month was something I was not interested in.
Oh, I'm sure you're not alone in those feelings. So how did you overcome that?
Well, I knew that I should be pioneering if I could. And I found Philippians 2 and 13 encouraging because it talks about how Jehovah can give us the power, but also the desire. So I started praying to Jehovah to give me that desire. And along with those prayers, I worked on improving my spiritual health, auxiliary pioneering as much as I could in the few years leading up to my regular pioneering.
Oh, wonderful. And what blessings have you experienced?
There really are so many blessings that come along with regular pioneering. But what means the most to me is knowing that I'm giving Jehovah my all, because there were so many years where I really could have been but wasn't. So it's really, really makes me happy knowing that I am giving Jehovah my best.
Well, thank you very much, both you sisters, again, for your expressions. So, friends, we want to remember that no matter what we're doing, we're either sowing to the flesh or we're sowing to the Spirit. So if we think about making the effort to not give up in sowing to the Spirit, it will bring fine results in our life. And we can do that by spending time in personal and family study. And that will really strengthen our spirituality. Secondly, by learning and applying Bible principles to help us to live according to Jehovah's high standards. And third, by continuing to sow kingdom seed, keeping the disciple-making work foremost in our lives. We can imitate the Apostle Paul and truly not let our hand rest. So, for a review question on our program. Again, how can we sow with a view to the Spirit? Well, the symposium has been based on that scripture in Galatians 6, verse 8. We do this by developing good study habits, using Bible principles to guide our lives, and giving the preaching work priority, not letting our hands rest. So friends, don't give up.
Thank you, brothers, and your participants for that motivating symposium.